The faithfulness of God is undeniable. The reality of God is undeniable. Now, there are those who say that because they have not seen God, they don't believe Him. And I say to them, have you seen the wind? Have you seen air? No. Air is invisible. So why do you say there is air? Well, because of the activities and the actions of air, wind. The reality of God is affirmed in our hearts day in, day out, because of the things that are happening around us. But there are times when we ask the question, if there is a God, why did this happen? And why did that happen? Because in the midst of the goodness of God, we see badness also, or evil, around us. And in the natural way, we're forced to question what's going on. Water is good, but I know people who've died in water. Air is good, but I know people who've died because of air. Good and bad many times go together. Just like power, we have positive and negative. The world is as complex as it can be and as simple as it can be. It depends on where you are, whether the cup is half full or half empty, whether it's a good day or a bad day. You know, for somebody, they may be complaining about their day and saying, this is a bad day. My children are giving me too much trouble. And then there's somebody else, somewhere else saying, oh, if I can only have those children. If I only can just have a child. And you wonder, are children bad or good? If you're watching, you don't know what to decide. Someone says, my mother is a good mother. And someone says, oh, my mother, she is a terrible mother. Are mothers bad or good? No, it depends on where you're coming from. And sometimes you can have two people and one is good and one is bad. Theologians think Abel and Cain and Abel were twins. And there is an understanding in the Word of God that makes that possible, that they were actually twins. But one came out bad and one came out good, depending on how they responded to God. And when I talk about the tale of two worlds, I'm talking about the reality of what world you are connected to. If you're connected to the world of the flesh and the senses, you are about to experience the worst experiences of your life. Because things are not getting better. And what man is going to say is good and peace has come, the Word of God says, then sudden destruction. But there are people that may be going through all kinds of crisis, but in the midst of the crisis, keep on going on. And they never sink. Death is not their portion. In the midst of the crisis, they are thriving. So the Bible tells us concerning Isaac. That he was in a situation where good things and bad things were happening at the same time. And we are in those days right now. He says in the word of God that he was in the land of Gerar. And he was there for a long time. A long time. And nothing was happening. But God had promised him to bless him right there in that land. Why wasn't anything happening? Because there was drought in the land. There was a famine in the land. And one day, God exposes his son. He had been lying. He had been saying that his wife was his sister. And because he was living that lie, he delayed the possibility of him ever having a child. And that was also true about his father. The father told that same lie in that same community. But this time, when God exposed him, the Bible says after he'd been there for a long time, then he sowed in that land. And in the same year, he received a 100-fold return. There was still famine happening everywhere. But for the one who now was open before God, favor and prosperity. I want to prophesy to you today that as you open yourself to the reality of who God is, that you are going to experience the 100-fold return in this lifetime. While there is darkness everywhere else, that is not your portion, that is not your story, that is not your focus, that's not where God has placed you. God is grooming an economy born out of the realm of the Spirit. It is a supernatural working of grace. The tale of two worlds. So the Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah, chapter 60. It says, arise, shine, for the light is come. When the command to arise came, it came at a particular time. What time is this? Let's go on. It says, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. It is the time when darkness covers the earth that God is saying to his sons and to his daughters, arise, shine, don't become like them. Arise, shine, for the glory of God is risen upon you. And because the glory of God is risen upon you, rise up. Hallelujah. The Lord spoke very clearly to us when we came to Rosh Hashanah in the year previous. As we stepped into 5780, God said, this is the year of the manifestation of my glory. And every time I hear that word glory, two things happen. Because when the glory of God comes, amazing things happen. But when the glory of God comes, death comes. It goes both ways. It is an interesting thing. Just like the word of God talks about the hand of God. The hand of God can be upon you for good, or it can be upon you for bad. I don't want the hand of God to generate evil inside of me. I want the hand of God upon my life to generate that which is good. Yes. He says, darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee. Oh, in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the plagues, in the midst of all the confusion, God is saying, arise, 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 be armed up, come up, arise, stand up, for the glory of God is risen upon you. When bad news is all around you, God says, don't listen to the bad news, listen to the good news, because greater things are in store for you. You are my chosen one. Somebody shout hallelujah. It says, and his glory shall be seen. It's not going to be hidden. You might have been hidden to a point, but in the midst of this darkness, your light is going to shine brightly. Oh, when it is so dark, the light shines. When trouble hits, that's when you know what God has made you out of. You know, you've heard me say it many times, you squeeze that tube, you find out what kind of paste is inside it. What's inside this tube? I may not see it, and from the outside, I may have a wonderful labeling on it, but when I squeeze it, what's inside will come out. And God is saying, during this time of squeezing, I want you to rise. Stop looking at the world. Look unto the author and the finisher of your faith. And he is the one who is lifted up. Amen. And when you look unto him who is lifted up, he says, I will draw all men unto me. I declare by the authority of the word of God that the season is changing for you and I. The season is changing. The season is changing, and it is changing permanently. In the name of the living God, the God who said his glory is going to be manifested, will manifest it. He will manifest it. What does that mean? It means that that which has been hidden shall now be revealed. Yeah. The resources that Egypt has been hiding in their cupboards. Oh, that's why God said this is the year of the woman, because it's the women that God sent out into Egypt and said, give me that gold, those diamonds, those pearls over there. That purple cloth, to bring it. What do you want? Just bring the purple cloth. Everything God needed to reveal his glory, he started pulling it out of Egypt. I tell you a secret today. God is going to do a wealth transfer for his name's sake, for his glory's sake. And child of God, don't plug yourself to the pestilence of the world. Look unto the author and the finisher of your faith, for God is declaring, arise! There are red seas to be split open. Marekai. God wants to do a new thing. Shall a nation be born in one day? Yes. Suddenly, God takes you from the place of being hidden to the place of being lifted up. He says, arise. And every word of the Lord is a command to be obeyed. So I want you to say, and I want you to mean it, I want you to declare out of your mouth, this day I arise and I shine, because your glory, O God, is risen upon me. The glory of the Lord is what? Risen. Now, that means if it rises, it came from somewhere below. that which God has invested inside of you. the crown of God's glory. The God who elevates will elevate you according to his word. That is the truth. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, there may be darkness and gross darkness covering the world, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light. They are going to come to thy light. They are going to come to your light. And kings to the brightness of thy rising. Your rising shall not be insignificant. Your rising shall be so significant, so obvious, that kings shall run to come find out what's going on here. What is there was darkness. How come there's light over here? What is happening here? Moses was walking, and all of a sudden he saw a burning bush that was not being consumed. And he walked towards it. But then God said, hey, you come into a new sphere now. Take off those shoes of yours. I like them, but they don't like this place. Because this place is not for Nike. This place, you got to make contact. Take that which is insulating you from making contact with me. Remove every insulation. Bear yourself before me, because where you are standing is holy ground. Amen? Amen. When God's glory is manifested, he will not accept unholiness. Anything that it has evil in it must get out. Is somebody listening? Yes. Because it's about the glory of God. Yes. It's about the glory of God. God says, okay, now let me talk to you. And begins to speak to him. But before he gets there, God says, I got to make some changes here. What's that in your hand? It's the rod. Throw it down. The man threw it down and it became a snake, a serpent. A serpent represents that which is evil. Deception. He says, you see, there's been deception inside of you. You've been walking around with deception. He says, pick it up by its tail. Watch this. If he dropped it down, I'm sure he didn't push it. The chances are he just dropped it, which means where he was holding dropped in front of him. Are you with me? You get that? But now it becomes a snake. And if I'm looking at this situation, where he used to secure himself on the earth, that was the head. And where used to be the head was now the tail. Are you with me? God says, pick it up by the tail. So he picks it up by the tail. But the tail, or rather the head over here, had become the tail. Now, I'm coming. You understand what I'm talking about in a moment. And when he picks it up, God says, from that point on, that this rod became the rod of God. In other words, what you thought used to be the head. And remember, when you pick up a serpent by the tail, that's the most dangerous thing you could do. It will flip around and bite you. But God says, grab it. And when he picked it up, guess what? The tail had now become head, but it was transformed. It was now the rod of God. And through this rod, God was going to make a difference between Egypt and the people of God. Are you with me so far? Now, consider this. He grabs it. It is transformed. Then God said, put your hand inside your bosom. He puts it in, inside, and it comes out, and he sees his hand is leprous. And God was saying, see you? You're just an outright leper. Put it back. Came out clean. Because God was making a flip, a change. You get it? We, the people of God, in a sense, have been the nobodies, the ones that nobody considers, the non-essential whatever. And God is saying, I'm flipping the tables. The first is becoming last, and the last is becoming first. Hallelujah. Why? Because I am going to manifest my glory in my people. Yes. Hear it. Child of God, hear it. God is making a supernatural change. In the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6. 2 Kings, chapter 6. I'm going to take it up from verse 9. Elijah is the prophet. And Elijah, as a prophet, is warning the king of Israel about what the enemy was planning and strategizing on and exposing it, so that the man of God was not, or the king of Israel was not damaged by whatever it is that was happening. And so in verse 9 it says, and the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. The Syrians have come down in that particular area. And verse 10 says, and the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there, not once, not twice. If it is not once or twice, then it at least three times. Amen? But the idea is many times. Verse 11. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. He was just, what's going on here? And he called his servants and said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? Who is on the king's side? The king of Israel's side. Because every time I plan stuff and I'm ready to get him here, he keeps on escaping. Who is it that is leaking? Who is the leaker here? I want the leakers. And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elijah the prophet that is in Israel. Tell the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. I wonder how he knew that. Because sometimes the Spirit of God will speak through people that don't even have a clue about who God is. Verse 13. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Now, that is a very interesting word, and I've explained that word to us many times before, but let me talk about that word again. Dothan means the place of two wells. Dothan, two wells. And depending on which well you want to drink out of, you want to drink out of the well of defeat? Drink out of the well of defeat. If you want to drink out of the well of blessing, drink out of the well of blessing. But in life, there are always two wells. And you're going to decide what you're going to do. So here, they tell him he's in Dothan. Verse 14. Therefore sent he thither horses. I want you to notice this. He sent what? Horses and what? Chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compass the city about. They compass the whole city. This army, this force, compass the whole city. And verse 15, it says, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early, please don't forget 14. Let me go back to 14 and then I'll read 15 again. It says, therefore sent he thither what? Horses and what? Chariots and a great host. All right? 15. And when the son of man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? What are we going to do now? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? 16. And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. The guy is saying in the natural, a whole host, horses, chariots. There's a whole lot of enemies surrounding the city. Well, now let's look at verse 17. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of what? Horses. And what? Chariots. Of what? Fire. Round about who? Elisha. They came with horses and chariots, but God came with his. This is the tale of two worlds. They came with their natural horses and chariots and a host, but God says, checkmate! Horses of fire, chariots of fire, and they round about Elisha. I wonder what was happening with the young man. Well, he was drinking out of the other well. He's been drinking out of the other well. And now he began to see what the prophet had been seeing all around when he said, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. In the natural, you can so plug yourself to what you see in the natural and scare yourself witless. Try to find natural solutions. Well, natural solutions will always fail. But there is a world in God where the Bible tells us that plowmen outpace the reapers. That's a different stage. That's the stage of the glory. When you read the book of Amos chapter 9, and you begin reading from the very beginnings of Amos chapter 9, you wonder what is going on. Because the Bible says, let me just read quickly. It says, I saw the Lord standing upon the altar. He was standing upon the altar and he said, smite the lintel of the door. See, when God shows up, there are all kinds of things that happen. But let me tell you, first thing that happens, he begins to uproot and take out and tear down everything that needs to be eradicated so that he can begin to build and plant. That's what he said to Jeremiah. I saw the Lord standing upon the altar. That's the only time I think I've read about God standing on the altar. In other words, you see, the altar is the altar of is all whatever goes on the altar is to be sacrificed. Jesus had come upon the altar to be sacrificed, but on one end it is life, on the other end it is death. Remember, when he hung on that cross and he gave up his spirit, there was earthquake and there was darkness. Remember, it was all dark and the earth side shaking. Earthquake was happening. But while earthquake was happening and people are dropping and dying and whatever else is happening, The saints of old that have been logged in faith were rising. Amen? They rose, but they, remember what we talked about during the Easter or Resurrection Day time, how they came up, but they did not come out because they had to wait for the one who is to be honored, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to come out first. Then they could come out. Yes. Honor. Remember that? Well, it says, smite the lintel of the door that the post may shake, and cut them in the head of all of them. And I will slay the last of them with the sword. He that fleeth of them shall not flee away, and he that escapeth of them shall not be delivered. He's on the altar. Though they dig into hell, then shall my hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, then will I bring them down. Scary stuff. And though they hide themselves in the top of Carmel. Remember Carmel? That's where Elisha told the prophets of Baal to kill their sacrifice, the God that answers by fire. Let that God be God. You remember that one? He says, I will search and take them out of thence, and though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, thence will I command the serpent, and he shall bite them. Hey, this is not sounding too good. Sounds really dark. Oh, what we're coming. It's a tale of two worlds. Verse 4. And though they go into captivity before their enemies, thence will I command the sword, and it shall slay them, and I will set my eyes upon them for evil and not for good. Yikes. God, you're a good God. God said, yeah, I'm good, but I'm going to have to get rid of some stuff because I have something else on my mind. And the Lord God of hosts is he that toucheth the land, and it shall melt, and all that dwell therein shall mourn, and it shall rise up wholly like a flood, and shall be drowned as by the flood of Egypt. Wow. Verse 6. It is he that buildeth his stories. Watch that. It is he that buildeth his stories in the heaven, and hath founded his troop in the earth. He's founded his troop in the earth. He that calleth for the waters of the sea and poured them out upon the face of the earth, the Lord is his name. I want you to know I'm in charge. Verse 7. And ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, said the Lord. Have I not brought up Israel out of the land of Egypt? Did I bring you out? And the Philistines from Captor, and the Syrians from Ker? In other words, I'm God. And it's not just you that I've delivered. I've delivered other people too. Behold, watch this. Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon the sinful kingdom. It's upon the sinful kingdom. And I will destroy it from the face of the earth, saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, saith the Lord. And verse 9. For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. 10. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say, the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. Pride. That's what God is talking about. That's exactly what God is going after. He's saying, you keep on saying nothing bad is going to happen to you. You're okay? Okay, I tell you what. You're saying the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us from doing whatever it is that we're going to do. You're so locked in to doing your evil deed, I tell you what, I'm going to fix you. 11. In that day, while you are busy talking about nothing, I'm okay, blah, blah. He says, in that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David. That tabernacle is the tabernacle of praise that is fallen. The tabernacle of praise, of worship, adoration. The tabernacle of being sold out, being a friend of God that you have put down. Trust in God. He says, I will raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen. He says, arise, shine. And close up the breaches thereof. I'm going to fix everything. And I'll raise up his ruins. And I'll build it as in the days of old. 12. That they may possess the remnant of Edom and of all the heathen which are called by my name, said the Lord that doeth this. Now we're coming. We've already been talking about one kingdom, one world, and how God is dealing with it. Now we come to the other world. He says, behold, the days come, said the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed, and the mountain shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. I say, excuse me, what's going on? One of the first times I read this passage, I looked at that verse and I said, is this supposed to be a good thing? Because all I've been reading is all the kind of bad stuff happening. Is this supposed to be a good thing? And I looked at it and I studied it. I say, hi. This is incredible. You mean while there is darkness and judgment happening in one realm, there is a people that are going to sow, they are going to have a harvest, and before they can even finish harvesting, the plowmen are already seeding, that there's an unbroken cycle of harvest? An unbroken cycle in which, my God, only you can do this. But for God to bring us to that place, he has to first eradicate whatever it is that will block his hand from doing what he wants to do. It's just the way it is. It's the tale of two worlds. I must decide what world I am going to live in. Am I going to live in the world where I drink out of the deception that's coming out of one well, or am I going to drink out of the well that is releasing the truth and the life of God to me? You make that decision. He says, in the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. What's that? That is God saying, ease on down the road. In other words, you're not going to have to climb nothing anymore, because the mountains are going to melt. Somebody shout hallelujah. God says, I will melt the hills. Verse 14. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the vine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. In the book of Isaiah, he says, listen, he says, you're not going to build and another man come and eat the fruit of it or dwell in your house. You are going to enjoy the fruitfulness of the blessings of God that I've bestowed upon you. Yes, hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the awesomeness of God that is released unto his people. In the book of Numbers 16, I shared this passage with you about a month or 2 months back. about how a plague had hit Israel, and how Moses spoke to Aaron to run into the midst of the people. I believe it was the day that I was sharing about essential and non-essential. And the plague was stopped as Aaron stood between the living and the dead. Two groups of people from the same family. But one side, death, one side, life. In that passage of Scripture, is a passage of Scripture that talks about Korah. Number 16. Let me read through it real quickly as I begin to wrap up. The Tale of Two Worlds. We as God's people need to be established in the integrity of what God is saying and doing in the now. As he says, his glory is going to be made manifest. We've got to determine what part of the glory of God we are going to be part of. Whether it's the glory of God as it has to do with life, or the glory of God as it has to do with death. He says, I place before you life and death. Choose life and live. You choose death, you die. And then it says, the power of life and death is in the power of the tongue. Yeah? Life and death is in the power of the tongue. That's why God says in the passage we read in Amos chapter 9, he says God is standing at his altar and he says, strike the lintel. What's the lintel? That's it there. Yeah? Of the door. And the lintel represents that door entrance represents our mouth. Says, strike it. Shut that mouth up. The mouth that speaks evil, shut it. Strike it. Hello? In Numbers 16, it says, now Korah the son of Izhar. I don't have time to go through all of those names so we get a deeper revelation of those names, because there are key statements in those names. The son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi. So this is a priestly family. They are the family of the Kohathites. This is a family, one of the families that carries the tabernacle. Are you with me? So this is not, you know, Johnny Just Come family. This is a family. This is a godly family. This is a family that has been handpicked by God for a greater purpose. And Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Pelet, sons of Reuben, took men. Two. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly. So these are not honored, these are princes. You seeing it? Famous. You see that word? They are what? Famous in the what? Congregation. Men of renown. These are not some weaklings. These are important people. Are you seeing that? Verse 3. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? You taking on, you think you're all that? And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. Watch this. And he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. He says, those who he has chosen he will cause to come near unto him. These do, take your census, Korah, and all his company. Verse 7. And put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. You're taking on too much. And Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi. Seemeth it but a small thing unto you, that the God of Israel had separated you from the congregation of Israel? God chose you, separated you in the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them. This looks so little? Go back to verse 9 again. Read it again. Seemeth it but a small thing. God chose you and separated you to minister to his people, to do what you're called to do, to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them. And he had brought thee near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee. And seek ye the priesthood also? You called to be a Levite. Now you want the position of the priest, the high priest? For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord? And what is Aaron that he murmur against him? Who is this guy that you're murmuring against? Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, and the sons of Eliab, which said, we will not, what? Come up. That's disrespect. You see it? Dishonor. We're not coming. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us? They use the same word. Is it a small thing? Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Will thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. What you promised us has not happened. You said that there's a land flowing with milk and honey, and here we are. There's no milk and honey. You said, God said, this is going to happen, but we don't see it. All we're doing is no, we're not coming. Moses was very wroth and said unto the Lord, respect not their offering. He says, respect not their offering. This is, you know, many times when we operate in dishonor, things go south. Because God now doesn't respect your offering, now he doesn't have to generate the blessing. You were being blessed, now you separated yourself because you did not keep your position. You know, I think it was last Sunday or the Sunday before, I was talking about the word unruly. And I said, it's a military statement where everybody is in line and there's this guy offline. That's unruly. You know, people are going left, right, and you're going right, left. Unruly. You're not following the beat of God. You're doing your own thing. Moses, respect not their offering. I have not taken one ass from them. I've not taken one thing from them. Neither have I hurt one of them. I've not done anything to harm them. And Moses said unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before the Lord. Thou and they and Aaron tomorrow. Verse 17. And take every man his censer and put incense in them and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers, thou also and Aaron, each of you his censer. 18. And he took every man his censer and put fire in them and laid incense thereon and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. Verse 19. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation and the what? And the what? And the what? And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all. Everybody. Unto all the congregation. 20. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves. And this is what this word is all about. The tale of two worlds. Because now, remember what God said. At the beginning of the year, he said this was going to be the year of separation. Do you guys remember me saying that? Okay. Because when the prophetic word is coming, it is coming for a reason. God is going to separate. He says, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in what? A moment. And they fell upon their faces. This is Moses and Aaron. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and will thou be wroth with all the congregation? Because of one person, are you going to be angry with everybody? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Now, listen to this. This is important. God says to Moses, I'm going to wipe them all out. But intercession, somebody say intercession. The intercession of Moses caused God to now say, tell the people that have the opportunity to separate themselves from Dathan and Korah and Abiram to do that now. He was going to wipe all of them out and start afresh. And that's not the first time. You know, and at another time, God says to Moses, I'm going to kill all of them and I'm going to start with you. And Moses had to cry out to God and say, please, what are people going to say? They're going to say you didn't have the power so you to take them into the promised land. That's why you killed all of them. And he says, and he repented God. God repented. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. He went to them and spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs. In other words, break every connection now, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. And many times, you know, we fool around with too many things because we think we're smarter than God. He says, pack, step away, disconnect, be separated, because I am going to act. And God is saying the same thing to us and the world. He's saying, separate yourself from the world system. Please hear me. God is saying the same thing. Separate yourself from the world system. I'll say it again. Separate yourself from the world system. Babylon shall receive its judgment. The system of the world, the system of the flesh will receive swift judgment. And God is saying to his people, separate yourself. Move away from that house. Don't do that kind of business. Let's think about it. You say, how do I separate myself from the Antichrist spirit? Because it's the spirit that is in the world. It's trying to compete with God. It's trying to say, I got it. I can do it. I don't need you. I am just as equipped to do this and to do that and so on and so forth. I'm doing my thing. That's the Antichrist spirit. And says that it's not going to allow anybody to trade, buy, or sell without them receiving the mark on their hand and on their forehead. Remember that? Okay. Now, don't get yourself all engrossed on the mark. Somebody's going to put vaccine inside of you and stick a microchip inside of you, and that will happen. But that's not the dangerous part. The dangerous part is you beginning to walk. Hands is about working. Work and doing things the way the world does stuff. Mind, think the way the world thinks. Once you start thinking, and that's what the world wants you to do, get everyone to be brainwashed, so to speak, to think the way of the world. If you get yourself there, you are going to die. That is guaranteed. You're going to be messed up. Stop thinking the way the world thinks, because God has a different world. You are not of this world. You are not of this world, and therefore you cannot operate the way this world operates. You've got to operate the way God's kingdom operates, and the kingdom of God operates in the principle of honor, the principle of faith, the principle of love. You don't do things that are not bound by the principle of love. Love has to carry in every decision you make, every thought you think. You must think, this that I'm going to do, this that I'm going to say, this action that I'm going to take, is it born out of love or out of something else? If it is not of God, you must separate yourself from it. Told them. So some were smart. The Bible says, so they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram on every side. In other words, Moses and Aaron were by themselves. And everybody were with these fools. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives, and their sons, and their little children. I want you to notice that. And their wives, and their sons, and their what? Little children. Little children. This is going to stop God, right? From doing what he wants to do. 28. And Moses said, hereby you shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these things, all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. In other words, I have been led by the Spirit every step of the way. If these men died the common death of all men, or if they visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord had not sent me. 30. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up, with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. Now, understand, all scripture is written as an example to show us what to do and what not to do. Amen? 31. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the what? The ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth, and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their what? Goods. Everything, they were, their property, themselves, their children, everything swallowed up. Ground opened up and swallowed them all up. Wow. 33. They and all that appertained to them went down alive. They were buried alive. Into the pit, and the earth closed upon them. And they perished from among the congregation. You see that? Let me say to you today. You and I need to separate ourselves from the world system. Because if we don't, that is a picture of hell. Right there. That's a picture of death. If you join yourself to the world system, you'll be buried alive. You'll be overwhelmed. You cannot afford to do any of that foolishness. You and I, as believers, must separate ourselves to the place God has placed us. Every man staying in their particular positions, doing what God has called them to do, not dishonoring the purposes of God. Let me go on as I begin to wrap up. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, "Lest the earth swallow us up also." And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. Ooh. So Dathan, Abiram, Korah, they're all swallowed up. But the guys who came, watch this, that had censers with fire in it, incense in it, the fire of God came and consumed them. They were not buried with them. These were princes. They were not buried like the others. These were separate. And why is it that they were not buried? Because they had taken holy fire and put it on those censers, and put incense on it, and God says, "That's holy. I'm not going to destroy what belongs to me." But he burns them all up. And then tells Moses and Aaron, "Collect all those censers." And what do you think he did with it? He used it to cover altars. It's the word of God. It's not changed. Still the same. Hallelujah. Now you think this would have stopped everything. Well, it says, "Speak unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning. And scatter thou the fire yonder, for they are hallowed." And then it says, "The censers of these sinners against their own souls." They sinned against their own souls. Let them make them broad plates for a covering of the altar. Remember God standing on the altar. "For they offered them before the Lord, therefore they are hallowed." That which they are offering to the Lord is hallowed. And they shall be a sign unto the children of Israel. And Eleazar the priest took the brazen censers wherewith they that were burnt had offered. And they were made broad plates for a covering of the altar, 40, to be a memorial unto the children of Israel, that no stranger which is not of the seed of Aaron come near to the offer, near to offer incense before the Lord, that he be not as Korah and as his company, as the Lord said to him by the hand of Moses. 41. But tomorrow, that means the next day, right? Somebody say the next day. All the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron, saying, Ye have killed the people of the Lord. You killed them. Look at you guys. You're mean. You killed them. Look at you. How can you do such? When did Moses go and dig a hole? You killed all the people. You messed them up. Oh, oh. It came to pass when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the what? Glory of the Lord appeared. Glory of the Lord appeared the first time, all of those people wiped out. Now the glory of the Lord appeared again, and what happened? And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation, get away from them, that I may consume them as in a moment. God says, okay, I listened to you the last time, but really, I really need to clean them all out. I'm going to kill all of them. And they fell upon their faces. And this is the role of the church. Amen? This is the role of the church, that God calls us to come to the place of intercession, to be able to bridge the gap between the worlds and say, God, I know you're right, but please, 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 because, oh, that, I'm speaking Nigerian Igbo now. It's this language. Oh, please. So they fell upon their faces, and 46, and Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar and put on incense and go quickly into the congregation and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. God has already said, and watch this, watch this. And Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation. Behold, the plague was begun among the people, and he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. 48, and he stood between the what? Dead and the what? Living. And the plague was what? Stayed. It stopped. Watch. Now they that died in the plague were what? 14,700. Like, this is in minutes. This is in, like, bang, boom. They are dying, dropping. COVID-19 doesn't match this one. This is not overnight. This is like right away you are dropping. Beside them that died about the matter of Korah, besides those that died during the time of Korah, he says, 14,700 people in a moment, gone. And Aaron returned unto Moses, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, the plague was stayed. I believe that there will be a staying because the church rises up to its proper place in the things of the Spirit of God. But there is two systems that are going to be running at the same time. Amen? The kingdom of God, just like Goshen was separate from Egypt, and the plagues that were hitting Egypt did not touch Goshen. Initially, it was touching both. Remember, I taught you about that. Whatever happened to Egypt was happening to the people of God, until God says, I'm making a separation now. And I said to us, at that time, God is saying, I'm going to make a separation. But at the same time, I said to us that judgment starts in the house. Remember me talking about that? That's when I started telling you, from the same chicken, you have dark meat and white meat. Remember that? You can have, good cut and cheap cut from the beef. But it's the same. Now, sometimes in the message that you're going to hear, you know, you're going to be hearing this, and then you're going to hear this, and you wonder, which is it, this or that? No, it's both. It is both. Both the good and the bad. But you and I choose whether we're going to stay in the good or go to the bad. But what you do see in the passage, and you've heard me say this before, when people make their mind to do the wrong thing, forget it. They're going to do the wrong thing. If they set their mind, the idols of their heart will speak to them, and that wrong will sound so good to them. And they will continue in it until they are finished. And there are times when you just need to just let it go. And God is saying to us as his people, the world has made its decision on what they're going to be at, how they're going to act, how they're going to live, and a good deal of them are not going to change. What sense does it make for our government to be telling us that's okay to smoke marijuana? And before they legalize it, are putting big signs out there, don't smoke marijuana and drive. We already have problems with drinking and driving. Why do you have to create this? And I was listening to some guy says, oh, another country in Africa just legalized, you know, marijuana. And this guy's saying, that country is smart. They're smart, you know, because now that company, they're going to be making money. They're going to be making money. You say, people are addicted to gambling, and you're building bigger and bigger casinos. And where you go put it? You go put it where the poor people are. They're already broke, and now you're going to make them broker. And then you're going to give them welfare, and they're going to live their life in a useless way. That's the way the world system works. The world system will wipe out a whole lot of people just so that some people can have more gain. You're thinking, oh, why would you want to wipe out your customers? Oh, don't think the world. It's a wicked world. It's a wicked world. And if you follow the systems of the world, you will lose your sense of connection with the grace of God. And I want to encourage every believer today to hold on to a faithful God and not allow themselves to be suckered into the lies and the deceptions of the enemy. Child of God, they've been smarter, wiser, more prayerful people than you and I, and they've blown it, they've messed up. We must do like Moses and Aaron did, fall on our faces before God. Fall on our faces before God and say, God, without your grace, I cannot make it. Only you, help me now. And God will show himself strong on our behalf. Blessed be the name of the living God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. At this time, I'm going to do two things first, and then, of course, we'll honor God with our giving. But today, so you've heard the word of God, if something's touched your heart, and you recognize something inside of you that you need to let go of as it pertains to the world system and the ways of the world, you need to say, God, I just need you to come into my life. I need to think your thoughts and move in your ways. God, forgive me every sin. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Lord, I seek you with all my heart. If that's what you want to do today, let me lead you in this prayer. Just say with me, Lord, I turn my life to you. separate me by your grace, by your help, from every evil thought, every evil intent. Cause me to choose righteousness. Cause me to choose the purity of your word, that I may live life to the full. I want to live the God kind of life, seeking first your kingdom and all of its righteousness. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.